We're in August already. How did that happen? Seems like every day goes faster and faster. So we're just going to take a moment this morning to close our eyes, and you can do that right now while I'm talking, then I will end in prayer. I want you to just take a few seconds, take a couple of deep breaths, and just focus on God and the love He has for you this morning. Give all that stuff over to Him, the stuff that takes your attention away from Him. Just come and rest in the green pastures that it talks about in Psalms 23. Just take a few seconds and just rest in the love of God. Heavenly Father, we thank You for loving us beyond what we can imagine. We turn over to You the fast pace and troubles that we face in our days. Give us peace and rest in green pastures and beside quiet waters. Fill us to full and overflowing with You. Let the world around us see You, Jesus, pouring out of us each day. In Jesus' name, amen.
During this time, I think we're so glad that we know someone bigger, more powerful, above anything that threatens us. Above all,
Psalm 121, 1 to 8. I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He will keep you. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep you going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore.
The Lord is our help. And during the next song, the ushers will be passing the offering plates and the children will come for my coins count. The offering will be going for EMN Ministries. And no matter how the Lord directs us to give, he is our help, and he who made heaven and earth will provide and help whatever our need is. I lift my eyes up.
Pray. Oh, Father, we just come to you this morning and we just give you our praises and just thank you. Though we may be going through struggles and times may seem crazy, we thank you. You constantly pull us out of these crazy times. You bring us new things in life. And this morning we praise you for it. This morning I do want to pray just for this town. There's a lot happening this coming weekend, and I just pray that the people of this town would feel your presence completely, and everyone in this church, that we would feel your presence as well, Father, and we could just have brand new things starting, brand new things happening, and just, we just give ourselves over to you, all our problems, everything that we have, and you show us, you guide us, you direct us, Father, and we just ask for your blessings over the tithes that were made this morning, and just bless this money in the way that it, use it for what it needs to be used for, Father. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, in 2 Corinthians 12, 7-10, the Apostle Paul says, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
Thank you.
sure he has just heard our prayer and he's working on that. I am weak, but yet according to Ephesians 2:6, it says, we are raised up with Christ and we are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. And God is seated on the throne and he's ruling. So are we also ruling? Are we ruling our thoughts, perhaps? In a book I read, a very simple line says, think about what you're thinking about. And so often our thoughts just go, and we don't stop and think about what we're thinking about. But it also says in the scripture, take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. So perhaps ruling is actually deciding who we will serve. The God who loves our souls, or Satan who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Lord, reign in me. Pray that you would have your will here through this rest of this service. I pray, Lord, all your thoughts towards each one of us, your message to each one of us would come clear, that we would receive it and respond with joy and obedience. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, it's time for our children's message, so I'd like to invite the children to come forward. Good morning. How are you guys this morning?
Good.
Hey, you can talk. That's good. So does anybody know how many brothers Joseph had? 12, yes. So we are going to look at Joseph this morning. But we're going to look at love. I think, wait a minute, story of Joseph and love. God's love for Joseph. Yeah. Joseph's brother's love for him, not so much. But we'll look at, I'm not going to actually read it, I'm just going to talk through it. So, in Genesis 37, Joseph had two dreams. And in those dreams, his brothers and his father came and bowed down to him. And so, his brothers kind of became angry with this, and later on they wanted to kill him. But one of his brothers wanted to save him, so he convinced the others to just lower him down in a cistern, and so they could sell him to some traders that were coming by, because he wanted to secretly come back and rescue his brother. Well, a cistern is a hole where they store rainwater. It rains and it fills it up, and they can use it later. So they sold Joseph to some traders that were coming by. Do you think this was showing kindness and love to Joseph? Were his brothers doing that? No, they wanted to kill him, and they wanted to sell him as a slave to some traders that were going by. So Joseph goes down to Egypt, and he starts working for Potiphar. He's working in his house, and God is blessing him and blessing everything that he does. But then he goes to prison for something that he did not do. In Genesis 45, Joseph becomes the second most powerful person in Egypt, only behind the Pharaoh. And Joseph has some more dreams, and there's a famine in the land. Does anybody know what a famine is? No? Well, it just means that there's no food to eat. It might not rain for a long time, and there's no food. So if it doesn't rain, you can't grow crops, and you don't have things to eat. Well, there was a famine for 7 years. And Joseph's brothers, they came down to Egypt to buy food. So what could have Joseph done to his brothers? What could have he done? He was the second most powerful person in Egypt. What could have he done to his brothers?
Put them in prison?
Yeah, he could have put them in prison very easily. He might have even been able to have them killed as being traitors or pretty much whatever he wanted, because he was the second most powerful person. But he showed love to them because he had God in his heart. God had worked in his heart the whole time he was in Egypt, and he was in slavery. And so we are supposed to show love to everyone because God loved us. And he loved us so much that he gave us Jesus. And this can be tough to do sometimes, to love other people like Jesus loved other people. So just remember that God loves you, and he gave us Jesus because he loves you so much. So I'm going to pray for you guys, and then you can have a snack. There's a snack in the bag right there. So you close your eyes, and I'll pray for you guys. God, just thank you for these children. Bless them. Show them your love that you have for them. I pray that each one will know you, Jesus, as their Savior. Just watch over them and protect them. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, you guys can have a snack and head back to your seats. Well, I would like to welcome you again and just thank you for your prayers for my family and myself this week as I prepared this message. So we are going to be starting a sermon series this morning, and the preaching schedule got shifted around a little bit, so it's going to be spread out a little bit more than we usually do it. So in between messages, there'll be some different things, like next Sunday we'll be out at the park, so we won't have the next message there. So, in April, Teresa and I were in Florida for our anniversary, and we had a rainy day, and we went thrift shopping. We hit a lot of thrift stores, and we barely had any room in our suitcases for anything else on the way home from all our finds that we had. There was a bunch of stuff that we passed up that we wished that we were closer to home that we could have purchased and brought along. So, I found this book while I was in the thrift store. The title is God's at War, Defeating the Idols That Battle for Your Heart. And we are going to look at idolatry, not adultery. So if you hear me pronounce it a little different, I made this slide because sometimes it doesn't come out very clear. So in the introduction in this book, Kyle, the author, is putting his 8-year-old daughter to bed. And she proudly exclaims that she wants to recite the Ten Commandments that she had learned and memorized. So she said them, and then Kyle started asking some questions. As a pastor, he's like, well, I'm going to start asking some questions to see what they have learned through this. Have you ever broken this one? Yeah. How about that one? Yeah. She goes down the list. And his daughter, kind of dejected, spoke up and said, well, I never made an idol. I have never broken that commandment. He didn't press any further. He finished putting her to bed, and as he was walking down the stairs, thinking about all that was going on, that's kind of the starting point for this book and where this idea came from. So each one of us has a war going on in us for the throne of our hearts. Is God, the Lord, creator of the universe, on the throne of your heart, or is there something else there? These things are warring for that spot, and we need to be careful so that they do not win. We need to remove the idols in our heart and replace them with God. You can't just remove it and not fill it with anything. You have to remove it and fill it with God, or something else will just take the place. We can check the box and say, it's not a problem for me, without doing any soul searching. But we may be missing something. And it's always good to take an account to see where you stand. So I'm going to read a little excerpt from Kyle's book. Imagine a man who has been coughing constantly. This is kind of funny considering all the stuff going on around our world. This cough keeps him up half the night and interrupts any conversation he has that lasts more than a minute or two. The cough is so unrelenting that he goes to the doctor. The doctor runs tests. Lung cancer. Now imagine the doctor knows how tough the news will be to handle, so he doesn't tell his patient about the cancer. Instead, he writes a prescription for some cough medicine and tells him that he should be feeling better soon. The man is delighted with the prognosis, and sure enough, he sleeps much better that night. The cough syrup seems to have solved his problem. Meanwhile, very quietly, the cancer is eating away at his body. As a teacher, church leader, I talk to people every week who are struggling. They're hurting, they're stressing, cheating, lusting, spending, worrying, quitting, medicating, avoiding, and searching. They come to me and share their struggles. They unload their frustrations. They express their discouragement. They display their wounds. They confess their sins. When I talk to people, they point to what they believe is the problem. In their minds, they have nailed it. They can't stop coughing. But here's what I have discovered. They're talking about a symptom rather than the true illness. The true illness, which is always idolatry. So are we treating the symptom or are we treating the cause? Are we getting to the root of the problem? Matthew 6, 24. No one can serve two masters, since either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. We can only serve one master. Is it God, or in this case, in this verse, he uses money as an example, but that money is an idol. And this verse is kind of the overriding theme for this whole sermon series. We can only serve one master. Our message this morning is on God's love for us. We cannot fully understand the love of God, but it's a good starting point. If we can grasp a little bit of the love of God, it helps us to understand the next messages in the series. God is jealous for us, and we'll also be looking at the idols of power, pleasure, and love, followed by a wrap-up message. So where do we even begin to start to explain the love of God? Can you understand how big the universe is? You know it's big, but how big is it really? It's a little hard to understand how big the love of God truly is. We're going to look at three different passages of Scripture. Though they're separate, they do tie together. And we're going to start with 1 John 4, 7 to 12. Dear friends, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, because God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent His one and only Son into the world that so that we might live through Him. Love consists in this: not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, if God loved us in this way, we also must love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God remains in us, and His love is made complete in us. So what can we learn from these verses? First of all, God is love. Love is in His nature. God loved us, and He has shown us how to love by sending Jesus to pay a debt for our sins. And if that wasn't enough, He made it free. You can't earn it. All you have to do is just accept it. When we have Christ in our heart, we show love differently to people than those who do not know Jesus. People may be kind and do good deeds, but the love that they show is different. It's not the same. As a follower of Jesus, we have a true love for others, and that is Christ flowing out of us. When we show Christian love to those around us, we have God's love in us, and they can see that something is different. They can tell that we are different. people do not understand why we care about others, and our hearts ache for them to know Jesus. And our hearts ache with them when they go through difficulties. And when we show the love of Christ, they get to experience a little bit of God's love flowing through us. So as we continue this message and this series, remember that God is love. In Luke 15, Jesus is talking to a large crowd full of tax collectors and sinners along with Pharisees and scribes. I'm going to read verses 11 to 24. He also said, "A man has two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the estate I have coming to me.' So he distributed the assets to them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered together all that he had and traveled to a distant country where he squandered his estate in foolish living. After he had spent everything, a severe famine struck the country and he had nothing. Then he went to work for one of the citizens of the country who sent him into the fields to feed pigs. He longed to eat his fill from the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one would give him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired workers have had more than enough food, and here I am dying of hunger?'" "I'll get up and go to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went to his father. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion, and he ran and threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father told his servant, 'Quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Then bring the fatted calf and slaughter it. And let's celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." This is a popular passage of scripture, but we're going to focus on the father in this parable, which is an example of God. The father in this story could have said no. That's not going to happen when the younger son came to him and basically said, "I wish you were dead. Give me my inheritance." But the father showed his love for his child by giving him what he wanted. Wait a minute. He showed him love by giving him what he wanted. Doesn't make any sense, does it? See, the father could have forced his son to stay, building an anger and a resentment that would have pushed his son away from him and closing the door on his son to ever come back to him. God does this for us. He allows us to choose to follow him or follow the world. And when we dishonor God and walk away from him, just like the younger son did, God is there waiting for us to come back to him. He still loves us. And the father's love in the story for his son, and how the father lived his life, they were brought back to the son's mind. He came to his senses. And God is actively waiting for us to return to him. God continues to call out to us, speaking to our hearts, showing us his love for us. And when we come back to him, just like the prodigal son came to his senses it's the same for us. When we're not living for God, when we were or maybe still are living in sin, God is revealing himself to us. He's speaking to us. He's calling out to us. With this act of love, He brings us to a place of repentance and awareness that we need God. God brought us to our senses. The prodigal son came home. And here's the amazing part. The father sees him from a long way off and runs to him to meet him. He wraps his arms around him. He kisses him. He puts the best robe on him. He puts a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. The father was watching for his son to return. It doesn't tell this in our story, but I can just picture every day the father looking down that road, looking for his son to come back, longing for him to come home. The son goes on and starts his speech saying that I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and that I don't deserve to be called a son of yours. What happened? They had a feast and they celebrated the son's return. See, God's love for us is so great that he is watching for us to return to him moment by moment. And when we come back to God, like the son did, he pours out his love for us. Like the lost son, God restores us to his family. The son wanted to just be a servant to the father, but the father did so much more. He gave the rights of a son back to him. And we are adopted as sons and daughters when we ask Jesus into our hearts as our Lord and Savior. We are accepted by God because of his great love for us. And we get to spend eternity with God. When we sin, there are consequences for our actions. We are held accountable. Our sins are covered by the blood of Jesus, but we do have to face the things that we have done. But God's love is backwards from the world's thinking. In the world, if we would be accepted at all if we came back like the son did, we might have to be a servant and maybe earn our way back into a relationship if at all possible. God's love is so much deeper than we can imagine. And our third set of verses, they show us what man is like and what God is like. So I'm going to start by reading the first four verses of Psalms 36. An oracle within my heart concerning the transgression of the wicked person. Dread of God has no effect on him. For with his flattering opinion of himself, he does not discover and hate his iniquity. The words of his mouth are malicious and deceptive. He has stopped acting wisely and doing good. Even on his bed, he makes malicious plans. He sets himself on a path that is not good, and he does not reject evil. Each one of us was like this when we are away from God. We are all born with this sin nature in us, and we think of ourselves with a boastfulness and a flattery, holding ourselves up in our own eyes. Yet when we come to Christ, we are transformed into a new creation. We have the love of God in us. This doesn't mean that we're perfect. We need to focus on God each day so that the sin nature does not rise up in us. And we looked at the Father in the parable of the prodigal son. We looked at what God does for us, running to us, calling us, accepting us, adopting us as one of his own. And the rest of Psalms 36, verses 5 to 12, we're going to see more of what God's love is like. Just listen how it is described. Lord, your faithful love reaches to the heavens, your faithfulness to the clouds. Your righteousness is like the highest mountains, your judgment like the deepest sea. Lord, you preserve people and animals. How priceless your faithful love is, God. People take refuge in the shadow of your wings. They are filled from the abundance of your house. Let them drink from the refreshing stream. For the wellspring of life is with you. By means of your light, we see light. Spread your faithful love over those who know you and your righteousness, over the upright in heart. Do not let the foot of the arrogant come near me, or the hand of the wicked drive me away. There, the evildoers have fallen. They have been thrown down and cannot rise. Just try to picture God's love reaching to the heavens. Not just love, His faithful love. His love is unwavering. It does not change. It does not move. God is righteous, morally pure, without spot or blemish. His love is the same. It is pure, without spot or blemish. This world has blurred what love truly is. With God, there's no fuzziness. It's clear of what love is. Just think of all the high mountains in the world. And David is comparing God's righteous love to that. Just think of Mount Everest, the highest mountain on earth. It's a giant mountain and doesn't even come close to the love of God. God's judgment, how does that show love? Well, His judgment is righteous. There's no spot or blemish. And we can know that He judges fairly. There's no favoritism. There's no corruption. And when David sinned by counting the military, God judged the nation. And He was carrying out punishment in 1 Chronicles 21:15. God passed righteous judgment, yet He was filled with compassion and didn't destroy Jerusalem. Priceless love is how David describes God's love. It's worth so much that you can't even put a value on it. It is worth more than anything. His love is so abundant that it will never run out and it will never fall short. His love is a place where we can find shelter in the fiercest of storms and the hardest of times. When all else fails, God's love remains. And in the last two verses, David is saying to God, pass judgment on his enemies. So why bother include these verses? Well, here's why. God is love, and it's in His nature. He loves us. He forgives us. He cares for us. Yet there is a time when God will pass judgment on this world. This judgment does not change God's love. God will righteously judge us. And if you have Jesus in your heart as your Savior, you will be with Him in eternity in heaven. If you do not have Jesus in your heart as your Savior, that's it. There's no more time. You will be separated from God for eternity in hell. We know that this judgment is coming, and we know how great the love of God is. So why would we worship idols in our hearts? If we're not, that's great. Keep focused so something doesn't rise up in you. We need to look at our hearts and ask God to search us and reveal to us if there's anything there. I would rather search and find nothing than not search and be guilty. So each Sunday and throughout your week, ask God to search your heart. Will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your great, wonderful, unending, powerful love. Thank You for showing us Your love each day, even though we don't deserve it. Search us. Reveal anything in our hearts that we need to repent of and remove, so that you are on the throne of our heart every day. Let your love pour out of us to the world around us, so that they can see you, Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
And he who loves us is able to accomplish what concerns us today.
Good morning. About a year ago, I had a guy stopping at the barn, and he shared me his vision that he has for the Muslim people, and I shared my vision of what I have for with Flowing Waters and reaching this community in Bowmansville. Time went on, and this past January. We got our heads together and made a committee. Seven of us got together, and we formed this Community Family Fun Day, which is August 6th, 7th, and 8th, which is coming up this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Friday evening, it will start at 4:30. Bowmansville Fire Company will have a meal starting at 4:30, and at 6:30, we are having a worship and a tent meeting, and there will be various things happening there. There's a couple, Levi Lee and his family are coming from Nicaragua and sharing Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night as far as what all is going on in Nicaragua. Saturday all day from 12 o'clock till 5:30, we're having a family fun day at the park. There will be pony rides, wagon rides, a cornhole tournament, a spike ball tournament, a barrel train for the kids. There will be a dunk tank and a bounce house. And this is all free except for the food. The food you will have to pay for. Everything else is completely free. We're doing this for the community. There's a few things that I have asked the congregation here if you're willing to help out with. One of them is we're going to have a prayer tent if anybody's willing to help pray, if people want prayer. The other thing is we have some people to sit in the dunk tank, but I know lots of people love to do that. So if there's anybody else that would love to just sit in the dunk tank for a half hour or an hour, let me know. The cornhole tournament, if anybody wants to be involved in that, let me know. If anyone here would have a cornhole board that we would be able to use, let me know. If anyone is interested in helping with sound, we do have somebody that's doing the sound, but if anybody else would be willing to help, that would be great. Just let me know. And Friday afternoon, I am going to be, Brian Horst and myself, are going to be setting up the trailer at Bonesville Park, setting the trailer up and the tent and the chairs, and getting various things ready for Friday evening. If there's anybody here that would want to help us in the afternoon, feel free to just stop out there Friday afternoon. And the last thing is those that are leading worship, the ones that are leading worship are from this congregation. We're trying to use as many people out of Bowmansville here as we can, because I believe there's going to be a revival in this church and in the community through this all. So we're trying to use you guys as much as we can. The people who are leading worship Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night, if you could get the songs that you're going to be singing to me, we want to download them, and we're trying to figure out how to use the projector out at the park so that everybody can see the words as we sing. So if you could download your songs or give me the songs by this coming Wednesday. This afternoon at 4 o'clock, Brian Horst had a prayer walk scheduled, and he called me this morning and said, I think we're going to cancel. Well, they're calling for rain. So there is going to be another prayer walk through the town of Bowmansville, but it's going to be after this event that happens. So we will keep you in tune to that. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. So please come and see Rick and volunteer to help out. It's amazing to see how God is moving and working. I'm part of one of the guys on the group who have been in the planning of this. It's truly amazing to see how God is moving and working, and I truly believe He's going to do amazing things. So I encourage you to get on board and come and see what God is doing. And just to thank you for all those who prayed for the youth group as they were away. They got home yesterday evening. God was faithfully watching over them, and they had a great time and got a lot of work done. So just thank you again for blessing the youth group through prayer and financial gifts as well. And just a reminder, there's a note in your bulletin about next Sunday. We're going to have Sunday school, and then we will go out to the park to have the worship service at 10:30. And just to go along with the message, I should have contacted Ruthie and the group and said, hey, will you sing this song? Well, I didn't really think about it, but number 538, The Love of God. Just think about the third verse. Well, if you're willing to, we can. I'll read the third verse. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, where every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though it stretched from sky to sky. Just think about that. If every stalk was a quill, and the ocean was full of ink, and every man dipped a stalk in that ink to write the love of God, it wouldn't even come close. So, if you're willing,
it goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair fell down his care and gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin.
Thank you very much for leading us in that. Will you stand for the parting benediction? Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. God bless you. Go in peace.